and Namaste, family. We are back here on a Wednesday night, November the 25th. It is the day before what many people celebrate, Thanksgiving holiday. And I'm quite sure many of you are doing your cooking in your kitchens and your turkeys together and all of that. I just hope that you keep in mind we are at war. And please, the call is for no Black Friday shopping. I've never been in the Black Friday shopping anyway. I just have a phobia of malls and crowds and shopping and all of that because my grandmother had us in the mall so much when I was coming up. I don't even want to see another mall. And I know that may sound odd, me being a woman, but that internet shopping is the best thing that ever happened. But I still will not participate in Cyber Monday. And I don't have a turkey in the oven either. But to all of you that are cooking, power to you. Just, you know, please scale back all that spending. I'm not here to try to tell you what to do, but we are at war. And please just don't go out there and continue to feed into all of this shopping and carrying on. So tonight we are discussing what is going on around the city, country actually, excuse me. We have Chicago demonstrating. There's been, a week-long demonstration going on in Minnesota after the police killed Jamar Clark in Minnesota. And then we also have demonstrators in Chicago. Chicago has a history of violence against Black people. You know, but just recently, it was revealed about that Black site in Chicago where people were being held, tortured, questioned, and having these Nazi-like psychotic things, tortures done on them. It was like a torture chamber. Going on right in the middle of Chicago in Chirac. Speaking of Chirac, I saw a clip of Spike Lee promoting his movie coming out, Chirac. So I wonder if anybody's going to see that. But anyway, so we are talking about what's going on in Minnesota and also after the video release of little Laquan McDonald. 17 years of age, executed by the police in the middle of the street, and it was just a horrific video. Just as horrific though, as seeing Eric Garner being choked in New York. What was that? Staten Island. Staten Island, I believe. Canty refers to it as Satan Island. But come to find out, this cop, I believe his name is Van Dyke, he has over 20 filed claims of him using excessive force, making racialized, inflammatory statements towards people, and basically he's just another rogue cop, cops gone wild, as usual, and this is so common. Let me just yarn a little bit because I'm so bored with this. Every 20 hours, we're hearing about somebody being shot and killed by either police or someone acting as an officer, a police officer, a cop, just like George Zimmerman, a vigilante. So I'm just so sick of this. I had an interview on Press TV. Out of Iran last night, and they were asking me about the Minnesota demonstrations as well as the Chicago demonstrations, and I had to take them back to 1969 when Chairman Fred Hampton was executed in his bed. So this is nothing new. So that happened before I was born, and here we are, 2015. I'm 44, and this is still going on. So. As I said, I'm bored with this. And when the interviewer asked me, well, what do you think that we should do? And what about the Black leaders? And, you know, I mentioned there are not any more black leaders, and we can't wait on black leaders like Malcolm, Dr. King, Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey was deported. Dr. King and Malcolm X, one supported nonviolence, one supported sending somebody to the cemetery if they put their hands on you, and they were both executed. Okay, so killed people in Dr. King's family, killed his mom while she was playing the piano. I think his brother was poisoned. You know, so like I said, listen, we have to do something different as a people. We have to do something different. We have to change our ways, change our thinking, do something different. I don't claim to have all of the solutions. However, I do know that what we have been doing, and I did mention this during the interview, the constant marching and the Negro spirituals, that's not going to get it. That's not going to get it. We need something else. We need another plan of action. We need some think tanks. We just need to really get serious about this because we see this continues to happen. So I have some clips that I would like to play. I'm going to share them with you tonight. And I hope that we have our guests to call in shortly. So let me just see here. Give me one momento. I'm going to get us together here. And I want to know if you are in Chicago or if you are in Minnesota, what is going on? Can you give us an update on what's happening there? Let me get this clip together and we'll play this clip. Let's see here. I think that I want to play this one first. Yeah, let's go with this.
Fuck the police! Fuck the police! Fuck the police! Fuck the police!
We need them, guys. No love. No heart. No respect.
The last 20-30 years on the fourth building of this shit, I give a fuck away with it.
Because you do not care about us time and time and again, you've shown that. And when the city is ready to release a video of one of us being shot 16 times, now you give a shit. Because you're afraid of the power of the young people in this city and the people standing here right now. So make some fucking noise because we're here. I'm going to brag a little bit. Innovations. But tonight, we created this space for black rage to exist and to not be pacified. We didn't want no motherfuckers telling us to be calm and be peaceful in a moment that is not fucking peaceful. When you killing us every fucking day and kicking us out of our neighborhoods and divesting in our communities and then blaming us for the violence that you created.
That's because people was organizing in this city for 20 years against.
So anyway, I bring y'all here today.
In this place, don't let it be your last.
Because we are.
You gotta be relentlessly embarrassed. Now I'm gonna embarrass you. like you try to intimidate us. You ain't got to be embarrassed. Don't shake your head. You should have tears in your eyes.
Because they kill your son in a heartbeat.
When the cops came out here.
Fuck your badge. They'll kill your son anyway.
After I've been out here for a year, don't turn your back. You should have
take
tears
it.
In your eyes.
Right.
It's a goddamn shame.
Where you going?
Of this country.
Don't hide. Don't hide. Don't hide.
Don't get out here laughing in my face. You must be out your goddamn mind. That's right.
Y'all sitting up here having lawsuits because they robbing your ass like a fucking donkey.
The community is stronger than you. And I will relentlessly embarrass any police of color. They come to the convention. They innocent they are. So, you must be out your goddamn mind. You coming over here supervising taxpayers, parents and grandparents that make more money than you, that have done more than you, and are more relevant than you, and you come out here laughing. When they send Officer Liang Ash to jail, I want to see how many of y'all Asians come out here and be laughing, because they're going to make an example out of the Chinese community for they messed up policies and laws. What you doing vertical patrols for in the project? Go do that shit on Wall Street where they're stealing money. Go do vertical patrols on Exchange Way. Go do vertical patrols on 2 Broadway. Matter of fact, go do vertical patrols in one police plaza. Do a vertical patrol in one police plaza. Do a vertical patrol in one police plaza and check your own goddamn self. Because you rape women, you lie, you cheat on your taxes, you do insurance fraud, and you cheat on your women. And you cheat on your women, and you lie on your taxes, and you rape, and you steal.
A domestic violence.
So you got a lot of goddamn nerve following us around. Why don't you follow yourselves around? Because you're a goddamn joke. You're a joke. Follow your own goddamn selves around. And all of the white ones going back to Juan Gage and Lincoln Hurst and Dix Hill don't give a fuck about you or your children. They'll call them cotton-picking niggas when they get home. They'll call your kids cotton-picking niggas when they get home. So you don't get out here and supervise your goddamn selves.
Mike,
let's check this motherfucking mic.
Lord have mercy. King B, now that was from up there in your part of the country. That was a woman speaking after she was at a Kai Gurley demonstration, I believe, because she mentioned the vertical checks that they were conducting. And I think it was called the Pink Project, the Pink Housing. The vertical checks, they were going through the hallways with a gun loaded. Why are you doing that? Like you're in Iraq or something. And so I love it when she said you need to vertical patrol yourself in Wall Street and you cheat on your taxes and you cheat on your wives. Oh, my gosh, she clowned them. I just love it, love it, love it. Let me welcome you in, King B, and Mother Hattie.
Hey, Mother Hattie.
How are you?
Thank you. Hey, Mother Hattie. You know, this officer was so inhumane, he called up the union rather than calling up 911 to get an ambulance for the victim, see if maybe the victim could have a chance of surviving.
Right.
He called up the union, so concerned about what were his chances of getting over this murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the tragedy in that area, there are three well-known churches that are like in walking distance. The most famous one is Christian Culture Center. Then you have a church called Bethlehem Baptist. Not too far away is a church called St. Paul's Community Baptist. All three pastors ran for the tall grass and has long ago been found wanting. That community is threatened with the gentrification, corrupt, dirty cops. She was killed. A brother who was a credit to the community, Dwayne Brown, was in his pajamas, watching TV, eating popcorn, and the dirty 73rd precinct, the police officers came to his house. Sorry, 73rd precinct came to his house, and when he asked the door to see who it was, to see who it was, they blew his brains out.
Blew his brains out.
And I couldn't get the pastor of the church, which is right across the street from the crime scene, to get involved. So this was what's going on out there. And this young man, if it wasn't for his family fighting for justice, they don't have any support from these pastors coming out there on the front line and supporting getting justice. I believe that the family would not be eager to take the hush money before they get justice. The city has not a leg to stand on. They're quick to offer hush money, like the family was got offer hush money out there in Chicago. 400 days, this cop was never indicted for 400 days.
Nope, on death duty.
Yes.
And Ron Emanuel wants to get on in front of the cameras like he's just so appalled. When you sit there and let those people, well, first of all, you allowed all of those school closings in Chicago.
That's right. And then,
just recently, and we had a show on this, the dire hunger strike, where they were, you know, striking about that school that they were trying to turn into some type of athletic school when the people actually wanted a green school. And, you know, Rahm Emanuel, he wasn't doing a damn thing. Obama's boy.
Yeah, Obama's boy. He was long, long contaminated before he even left Washington. But you have no outspoken words from Jesse Jackson, who's a major
No. Jesse Jackson said everybody needs to be calm. He did come out and say that now, King. I heard he said it.
Listen, Jesse is long ago a bewilderer, and he has long ago shown where his heart lies as far as he was demoted, where Sharpton was given the position of being our Moses. And Jesse was told at an airport, allegedly, you're done. Sharpton is taking over your position.
Now, who's going to take over Sharpton? I heard they got into a big fight one time at some type of event. They got into like almost a fist fight or something behind the curtain.
Lord,
these Negroes is cutting up, boy.
Well, you know, like Jesse is very irate that he had it made and didn't want to believe that Sharpton would be the one that the government would say we support you no longer. Jesse, you are history. You're done. Sharpton take it over. Now, who's going to take over Sharpton's place when Sharpton cannot go nowhere without being booed or eggs thrown at him or something that he would not be able to finish his speech because?
Well, you know, Jamal Bryant, that's who's being put out as front man.
We'll see that.
His illegitimate baby having tail.
Yes, you know, there's people like you, Dr. Short, putting the word out there. And, you know, there's a big fuse, a lot of firecrackers to tell the world Jamal Bryant is a front for the National Action Network. And he has long ago been contaminated. But until we expose these rascals that are paid by the government to keep our people in a bewildering state where we are not dealing with the issue, what happens if we're dealing with police killing after police killing. And you see in some families, like the family out there in Chicago, took the godforsaken $5 million and knew damn well that they didn't get justice.
Yeah.
They didn't even file suit against the city through their lawyer. What did they think the city was trying to do to the family to do nothing else except to dummy up, take the hush money, and don't make any waves because the city had no case. So they offered a poor family money that they would never see in their lifetime again,
Yeah.
And they don't really think in terms of, you took the hush money, now how are you going to get justice still for your murdered loved one? It's incomprehensible.
Uh-huh.
It's incomprehensible to believe that you still can get justice once you take hush money. It means what it says.
Hush, man. I wonder, do they have like a committee for each city that goes to the family and says, okay, now we want you to come out and tell everybody to not protest and be calm because your son was peaceful, so you want everybody else to be peaceful. It's the same narrative, King B. Yeah. It's the same narrative. Jamar Clark's sister. I'll play the clip. She said, Jamar was peaceful. And we want his name to, I want everybody to protest in peace or some old crap, she said.
Please.
You know, look, these people did not shoot your brother in a peaceful manner.
No.
They shot your brother. They shot and killed your brother.
And the smoke was coming from his body from the impact of the bullet hit his body. Smoke was coming from his body.
Well, yeah, McDonald young boy. That was horrible.
And,
oh, my God. That was horrible.
In Chicago.
Yes, in Chicago.
I don't see no reason why the mayor should not be recalled because he saw the autopsy the second day after the murder, and you're telling me that all that time he had no desire to upset the police union.
Uh-uh.
To have that officer not only put on death duty, but take his gun and badge and have him charged with
They've been holding on to that video all of that time. The video was only released after a journalist filed a FOIA to have the video released, and a judge ordered the video to be released by today, and so it was released on yesterday. Now, this prosecutor in Chicago, this female prosecutor, said, oh, well, I was going to file the charges and blah, blah, blah. Baby, you had all this time. You could have filed those charges the week of that shooting because you had the video that night. And then the Burger King, you want to tell the story about the Burger King video being deleted, King B?
Yeah, well, police officers, from what I said, went inside the restaurant and asked cameras. They thought people didn't think nothing of it. But while sitting there, 90 minutes, they took to erase the cameras showing the actual shooting of this young man. And, you know, like, what can you say other than destroying the evidence, which is obstruction of justice. And these guys are under the illusion that they can do as they please and don't have to worry about it because reason given, black people don't have citizenship and black people are taking a long time to understand that they're not being considered as citizens and they're not considered as human beings. So they can do as they please and there will be no consequences. Because, you see, look, you got a Congressional Black Caucus hasn't
moved,
even with the killing of Sandra Bland, and then killing of this young girl named Rakia Boyd, shot in the head by an off-duty cop and from his own personal car. This is horrendous. This is horrendous.
Yeah.
I have never thought of the idea that there would be such killings going on. And it goes on and on
King B, let me say something about the Rakia Boyd killing, because she was walking with her brother who was shot in the arm. Now, I believe they actually initially had second-degree murder charges planned for the indictment, but they were filming a documentary. And then that cop, I can't think of his name, I want to say Rising or something like that, but that cop came on the scene and spoke to the brother and asked the brother for a hug. Now, see, this is where our people need counseling, and this is where I fault a lot of the black leaders. because someone should have been there or had already spoken to this brother and told him, you engaged, embroiled in a lawsuit. Okay, you need to not have any contact, refrain from having any contact with the police officer. So that destroyed that second degree murder charge, and then that's when
right.
It was reduced, and that's how that cop was able to get off. Why in the hell, first of all, why would you hug this man when he shot at your sister? For no
Thank
reason.
You.
Shot at you and your sister. Shot you and your sister and killed your
Thank
sister.
You.
Why would you hug him? Black folks
Thank
don't
you.
Give I'm so sick of y'all, King B. Y'all want to sing them goddamn Negro spirituals every time somebody
yeah.
gets shot and killed and,
right.
and all of this forgiveness and Jesus going to fix it and oh, I forgive him and all of this stuff. When these people sitting up here killing people, just blatantly shooting people,
yes.
I don't believe
I mean,
for 1 minute that those are gang members doing all of those shootings in Chicago. People have constantly reported, including a congresswoman in Chicago, that those police are involved in those shootings. Just like, and I'll play this video, the chairwoman of NAACP in Minnesota, in Icy Hot, if you're there, you can speak on this as soon as we come back from the break. She said
sure.
that they believe that those cops were involved in the shooting in Minnesota, and I don't doubt it.
Nope.
I don't doubt it, not one bit. So, I mean,
they were wearing a ski mask, the same attire that those gunmen was using. And, listen, when you've got
mm-hmm.
no one to keep these police in check, to see that they are professionals, not gangsters in blue uniform,
mm-hmm.
where they can commit outright bloody murder, and knowing
mm-hmm.
that the police union and the media got their back. The media
mm-hmm.
swear that they're journalists, but in actuality, they're nothing but overly paid stenographers. You say it, and we'll print it on, put it on the electric airways, but we don't raise no critical questions. How is it possible white cop kills black youth, and it goes 400 days before anything happens? I mean, it was only was a threat of the judge, and a very brave journalist, who is really the journalist, was able to get videotape release, and
uh-huh.
that it is clear that it's going to get really, really worse, because we're talking about, we haven't even gotten near springtime, and things are getting very, very hot. But wait until Obama leaves office. You're going to see some serious outright hatred that always was for black people when Obama leaves office.
Let's take a quick break on that note, Candy, and we'll come right back.
Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Police say they are still looking for more suspects. With me now is the communications chair of the Minneapolis NAACP. She is Raisha Williams. Ms. Williams, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us, Brooke.
So what I'm hearing now, not just one arrest here, but two. Tell me, is that what you're hearing? And what do you know about these individuals who are in custody?
Right. So we're hearing two at this time, but we don't necessarily trust that. We know that the police department is behind this. This is our personal belief after receiving witnesses' accounts, me personally being on the ground. Bob Crow, Minneapolis Department union head, has thrown ridicule
out there. Wait, forgive me. I have to interrupt you. I know there's a delay here in Paris, but you said you believe the police department is behind what?
We believe the police department is facilitating the injustice bullying to the protesters, and we also believe that they are involved in this shooting. We know from blackboards and from chat rooms and also videos that we have posted on our website that police that are from different counties, police from different districts have come down to entice the protesters, have come down to bully
those
the protesters.
Those are, I understand you are there in Minneapolis and you know much more about this, but those are serious allegations you are just laying down on national
yep.
television.
And we are standing behind it. We do not back down from these allegations. Bob Crow.
Where is your evidence that they were involved in the shooting?
So we know that when the incident happened, police were lurking over the top of the precinct. Immediately once the victims were shot, protesters ran to the door of the precinct and they knocked on the door for help for ambulance. The police came out and one officer said, "This is what you've been wanting," and shut the door on us. It took 15 minutes for the police to even arrive, and shortly after that, they begin to mace the crowd. So if you are not a part of the problem, if this is not something that you're trying to cover up, why would you not attend to victims that pay for your salaries?
But do you have concrete evidence? I understand what you're telling me you heard when the door was open at the police precinct, but what is your concrete evidence of this?
We have concrete evidence. We have video footage, go to our website, of an undercover cop getting into an unmarked car. We have the license plate. We've been running it. They have been coming down to our facility, to the precinct, where we have our city tent and our protesters, and they have been trying to entice us the whole time. So we believe, and we stand behind our belief, that the Minneapolis Police Department are not protecting us, and therefore they stand with racist white supremacists who want to destroy a peaceful movement. All over the country, when things like this have happened, riots have broken out. In Minneapolis, we have not rioted. We have not burnt anything. We have not looted. Even after we have been shot at and injured by white supremacists and the police did nothing but come on the scene and begin to mace our protesters, we still have not taken the streets angry. We're a peaceful group of all nationalities, all religions, and all different points of views. But we all come together to stand in one righteous truth.
Okay.
Want justice for Jamar.
All right, and that was a clip from the I think communications chair of the NAACP in Minnesota. And on the line right now, we do have an activist on the ground in Chicago, Chirac, Paul McKinney. Paul McKinney, welcome in to the Lotus Place and Black Talk Radio Network. How are you this evening?
How are you doing? Thank you very much. I really appreciate you and your listeners.
And we appreciate you taking the time because I know you were organizing a demonstration there in Chicago, and you too were on Press TV speaking about what's going on in Chicago. So can you just give us some background information about Laquan McDonald, what happened that night, and what's his story?
Well, in Chicago, Chicago is the worst of all cities of police violence. December 4th, Chairman Fred Hampton was murdered in his bed.
Right.
As he had been drugged by William O'Neill, who worked for the FBI. Only in the city of Chicago have stuff like that ever happened. So you got to understand the culture of Chicago. Chicago is where the St. Valentine Massacre. And at the St. Valentine's Massacre, the police did that. No one ever was arrested for that. No one ever was locked up for that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dealing with that in Chicago, you're dealing with a culture of racism in Chicago. In the South, you had the Ku Klux Klan. In the North, you had the mob, or we like to call it the Democratic machine.
Okay.
Now, with this young boy, he was 17 years old. He was a warded up city. He had been raped twice because, contrary to popular belief, the other prison system is.
Oh my
God, I'm on the phone.
Okay.
Shit.
So Paul McKinney is telling us that Laquan McDonald was raped. He was a ward of the state.
He was raped. He was raped. He was a ward of the state. And contrary to popular belief, he had a lot of issues. And he was over at his family house, and where his grandmother was, the family was trying to get him back, because once the child get into this system, it's hard to get your children back. It's former prison system. And while they were trying to get him back, while the mother was trying to get the child back, he had issues. And he was, when they mentioned that he was on some type of PCP, that's not PCP. They're talking about that marijuana called loud. Mm-hmm. Loud weed. Loud weed is genetically engineered marijuana that's perpetrated on the black community out of Los Angeles, California. It's a genetically engineered drug dropped in the black community and got our young man, mind kind of twisted. And so the young man was kidnapped. When he first got into argument with his family, the police drove up on him. There was no call on him. When the police drove on him, one of his neighbors told him, just tell him to leave from the front of my house. And so he walked away. When he got down the block, the police kidnapped him from the west side of Chicago and took him on the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Where you see him getting killed at is not where he got arrested. They took him literally from one side of town to the other side of town, then put him out the car and told him to run. And that's why you're seeing him running in the first part of it. Mm-hmm. They set him up. That is a lynching. Mm-hmm. Now that's what happened to him. Then they intimidated the mother. They were doing the mayoral election. They was also doing the senatorial election with all these senators in Washington. Barack Obama was pushing for a bunch of people to be elected in the city of Chicago. And the mayor put the whole case on hold. Mm. And then when his uncle took the case to the FBI, and the FBI called up the police review board, and that was when they said that they was going to give her the money. And they gave her the money right after the election, called her in the room and gave her a check. There was never any suit. And then the lawyers who never filed a suit, who never negotiated anything, gangster $2 million out the $5 million.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is what's happening in Chicago. Now, I was asked a question by a reporter today. Mm-hmm. And he said, what happened to post-race America? Mm. I thought America was post-racial. Wasn't going to be no more racist. And I responded this way, and I want the audience to hear me. Racism put on a mask. And that mask name is Barack President Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
That's what racism is on. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, we can talk about ISIS. We can talk about mass shootings in Paris, France. They've had two mass shootings in Chicago, two mass shootings with 12 people that got shot at one time. The carnage and the violence in Chicago, and we like to say that we're going to Friday, there's going to be a giant march. Down
this Friday?
This Friday, there's going to be a giant march down the Magnificent Mile. Everybody is coming. People from other countries, other cities are coming. And one of the things is that it's going to be a Black Power March, because it's not going to be a few Black folks in front calling out Black Lives Matter and 75 white folks in the back. Not going to be not going to be a white left front march.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they've been organizing quite a few of the marches in many of these cities.
Well, they have been advocating and trying to send some of the young leaders to jail. Yesterday, a young man by the name of Malcolm was marching.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't allow, Black Power March don't allow folks to walk around with masks on their face. You can't march with people, but you had in front. You ain't getting that. Well, if you need a mask, you need to march. You need to do something else. You need to get out to march. And these are young people who really like to just go along, get along. They're happy to march with white folks. They're just so happy to be with them. And they was marching with the white folks with the masks on, and one of them took out a smoke bomb and threw it on the ground.
Wow.
They had the mask on, didn't know who he was, address, where he come from, didn't know, can't get back up with him. And the police grabbed the leader of that march and charged him with a case. And they released him this morning. But he'll do it again, because he's a part of that white left movement. There's two movements in America. You've seen it in Ferguson, you've seen it in Baltimore. There's two movements. There's a white left movement, which is a white socialist group who wants to perpetrate a lie that and has gay and lesbian brothers and sisters, black people, that are gay and lesbian out front marching, and they have what they call a coalition. A white coalition, and it's called a brown and black coalition. But they don't have a black coalition. They don't have a black coalition. So those marches, and ladies and gentlemen that are listening to me, you need to look at those marches. Don't be always jump up and talking about what happened up there in Minnesota. Same thing up there. Same thing happened there. Go back and look at the video of the young lady that was talking who was on the expressway. She was the only black person on the expressway. When they panned the camera, it was all white people stopping the traffic. So, in my opinion, you're marching with some of them people. Those people you're saying people you're marching with, you don't know the racist white folks from the non-racist white folks. So she's marching with them people. She don't know them people. Those are not black power marches where you know who these people is from the community. Those are not community marches. Those are people from somewhere else that they're bringing in into these neighborhoods, marching to our name. And it's going to end up getting into another thing y'all finna find, is this violence between black folks and this white left. Now, that's what you really finna see. You're going to see some violence between that is. In Chicago, they have jumped on some of them already, marching to our neighborhoods in Chicago. And the question is, what is your, and they're perpetrating a stunt. So your audience that are listening, look at those pictures. Look at when you see them people saying that this is so and so and these are black kids, and look at your own lying eyes. You don't see it's a bunch of black white folks with a few black folks in front. That's fucking bad.
Yeah.
Perpetrating a lot in our people. And you can look at some of the slogans they come up with.
Yeah.
$56 raise.
Yeah, they incorporate everything else and always hijack the movement. And I don't know why people are constantly allowing that to happen. I remember in Ferguson, there were some white people coming in training protesting.
Even this young man that was marching yesterday,
mm-hmm.
he was marching with one of the aldermen's
daughters. Mm.
Right there, that's a red flag to call me. You feel so comfortable that you send your daughter to march with them?
Right. Yeah.
See, it is the administration. It is the system that's using them to stop us from seeking. See, a lot of folks made a mistake in the 60s. They started off seeking equality. They started off seeking liberation. They started off seeking freedom. But they end up getting middle class. That's the end of it. They didn't get freedom. They set up a middle class, and all the demons of racism never went away. We still have it. We still have the demons of racism. So we elected a middle class president. I mean, a comfortable president. One a lawyer, one a professor, one a professor, other a lawyer. This is what we are. For. You know, one. 2.1 family, you know, two kids. The middle class, it was a middle class mindset. See, just being middle class is not going to eliminate racism.
Thank you.
Not gonna get rid of racism because you middle, because you
baby. Thank you.
Because you middle class. This is a demon that black folks got to deal with once and for all. This ain't just about a young man that got shot 16 times. And the show ain't about no gay equality. The show ain't about no gay agenda. Because even it ain't gay, them everything they want. And you still got racism with black folks. Why is it white? Right, right, gay people don't like themselves, the black people. So this is something that we got to do this once and for all. And every 30 or 50 years, this thing comes back up. And it comes up through the police. And so what you're seeing right now in Chicago, Baltimore, Ferguson, you see the seeds of rebellion against the white left too. Now, mark my words, people are listening to me, mark my words. You're going to see some violence with black folks in the white left. Now, that's where it's going to be some fight. That's where it's going to be rubber going to need to go. Then you're going to see a real black movement with black folks in the Africa coming. Not no phony movement that they just had, talking about, and see, we live in a city of Chicago where Farrakhan marched a million people, maybe 3 million people over Washington, but he's 50 million said that about this shit. No. 10 million people in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So a whole lot of contradictions that come out.
Certainly. Canty, King B, you have a question for our guest?
Sure. Brother, I'm so impressed with your assumption and foresight what's going on. Do you think you can get enough support to have this mayor of yours recalled? Because I always say...
Recall the mayor?
Yeah, because see... Here's a mayor that was hell-bent on keeping this information quiet just so that he could bamboozle black folks in getting elected mayor, but he sat on this thing the second day of the murder. He had the autopsy report. So he knew there was enough information to have that pig arrested and charged. Sat on it for 400 days. What kind of a man do you have other than a gangster in a suit who goes, collaborates with murderous cops and got these Uncle Tom pastors? I know one of them is very famous. Another one is not so famous, but I know of him very well. And these guys are, I call them ecclesiastical pimps on steroids. The mayor needs to be recalled because see, once you have cancer in the body, it's not going to get any better once the cancer is not treated. Either you all get rid of this mayor, or he will feel that you all are such fools that he could now orchestrate a situation where you pay off some jive pastor to give the kind of misleadership where black people will fall for the okey-doke. You sound like a brother that is a thorn in the side of this mayor. And they don't tolerate renegades that embarrass their domain. They must have control over the minds of black folks. And these black pastors, in the same mode that the apostles were during slavery, they intend to continue this mode of bewildering our people. So do you think there could be a real move, not only to have this mayor recalled, but to formulate an economic boycott?
Well, a lot of people went to Washington, D.C. and said they want to boycott Christmas. They said, let's put down Black Friday and pick up Jesus. And that's what they said. Well, okay, then. Everybody may not be a Christian. A lot of folks did it. So this Friday is the beginning of this season. So what's going to happen is the people that were saying it were just saying something slick out their mouth. There are two things you got to go after when you go after these people. You got to go after their political seats, and you got to go after that money.
Mm-hmm.
You start messing with that money, somebody's going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you start messing with the stock market, you got a board of trade. You start shitting the board of trade down.
You start sitting the magnificent mile down.
Come on.
You start messing with real stuff.
Yes, sir.
But hell, they got to make a real change. So that's what you—that's where you're gonna see the problem at. Where they to call themselves they want to meet with those Negroes or with the gay community or whatever, and they're gonna find out. Well, hell, boss, I can't cut this off. These black folks are moving out. See, this incident has sparked something among our black people. See, they really be wanting to use the guys in the streets. That's what they've been coming to ask and having meetings about on the south side, trying to get the guys in the streets, and they've been shut down. See, the guys in the streets ain't finna make them use them no more. The preachers want to use them, and this new group, the new white left want to use them. Like, you white left better watch it. And they ain't got no problem hurting them. But the bottom line is what I just got to say. This mayor needs to be investigated because he is just as much in trouble involved in it as anybody else.
Of course he is. Of course he is. And he doesn't have a leg to stand on. He doesn't have a legal leg to stand on once the heat is on the table like a rope.
Your president loves him. That's your president. That's where he loves him. When the president comes to Chicago, they go to his house, or he comes to the president's house, and I told you, racism got a new plan. And it's mad, all the stuff going on. No other people since this president. And my thing is, when is this brown black coalition? They ain't killing no Mexican like they're killing us. They ain't killing no Puerto Rican. What's the coalition within the mouth? They ain't killing no white folks. They only kill black folks. Ain't no bunch of videos of these other ethnic groups getting shot up. So those people coming in and like they we is putting it. Now ain't no coalition with nobody. First of all, black folks need a coalition with black folks.
Indeed.
I'm saying you with somebody else and you bought it for me and you ain't even got me with you.
Thanks.
It's total disrespect.
Absolutely.
So when you see that, people are rising up. And they're going to rebel against the white left and the white right. That's what you're seeing. See, the white left made a deal years ago in the 60s. Let us rule over the black folks and give us the money and we'll control them. Well, all that's coming to an end. All that's coming to an end.
Yes. Yeah, black people are finally waking up to what the tricks that are being played. Let me see. Mother Hattie, you have a question for our guest, and welcome in, Delta. How are you?
Oh, hi there. I did have one question. The secret place that they take and have been taking a lot of the people from Chicago, Illinois, is that the place that people are marching around and including in all of this fanfare?
That place is on Harrison, it's on the west side. Let me give you a little history background first. Once again, the white left got in there and confused the issue. When the white kids came to Chicago and protested the G7 and NATO, they took some of the white kids to that. They had been taking black kids to it all the time. They've been taking, and we had been complaining about it all the time. And when it was coming out that it was like a torture place, that they were torturing, they literally were torturing you. They would take you in there, chain you to the wall, and leave you in there 3-4 days. Pee on yourself or pee on the ground. You got to use the bathroom, use it on the ground. Ain't no food. Ain't no going nowhere. You're chained to a wall. So this is what they were doing to black folks up here. See, up here in Chicago, they still talking black folks up here in northern Mississippi. This is northern Mississippi. I mean,
that's all it is. Literally.
That's all it is.
Well, Minneapolis is northern Mississippi, so a little bit of silence that there's a larger black.
Y'all got a real problem up there because you got the white left all in front of y'all. See what the strategy is. Put the white left in front of you. Get
white socialists, white communists, allow the black boys to have sex with the white women. That's or have sex with the white men. I said the black boys. Because up here, the black boys that's in this Black Lives Matter movement, they gay. They have sex with the white men, and the white men, they have sex with the black women and the white women.
See?
That ain't no movement. That's a form of homosexuality is a bastard child of racism. So how can you be fighting racism and you gay and you ain't fighting to stop being gay? Gay comes from white supremacy.
And how long is it going to take? You know, this was just exactly.
And they're funding them.
Yes.
Soros is funding them. A lot of super rich white folks are funding them.
So the report is, Paul, that George Soros has been funding a lot of these Black Lives Matter protests.
Well, no, what he's doing is, let me tell you how they got it set up. He's funding the white socialist group. And the white socialist group seeked it out, gay and lesbian groups. They all met underneath Angela Davis. Angela Davis is married to a white woman. But they met out in on the south side of the church. They missed, y'all hear this?
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing him. Is anybody else?
No, I'm hearing him.
Okay.
We can hear him well.
He is coming in awful low.
They met in a church on the south side of Chicago. It used to be Jeremiah Wright Church. When they met at the church, Angela Davis was leading the charge. So they make a fool out of her all the time. She was married to a white woman, and they brought in all this new concept. This was in 2011 and 2012. Now, she used to go to the university, and we protested her up out the University of Chicago. So the white folks say, look, y'all take that somewhere else. This is a prestigious university. Take that nigger stuff somewhere else. And so they took them niggers, because that's what they is, over there, with them white folks over there, with them trans white folks, and they formed this coalition. Then Barack Obama gave them some money, and they met at UIC, and they were called, they came up with an organization called International Leaders. There were 2,000 of them. White, black, but all the black folks were gay. You know what I'm talking about? All was all beat down. Didn't have no personality or plucky time. You know what I'm talking about? With the white folks tell them to say they say it. That's why they don't have no coordination with black folks. They too busy, not only they too busy trying to please white folks, they living there, literally kissing white folks real behind. I ain't talking about you know, you think they do. I'm talking about they actually got their mouth down there for real.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul. Paul, we're going to take just a quick break. And if you don't mind, could you just stay with us? Because I'd like to come back. And if you could just give us a brief synopsis again for those new callers that have just joined us on the background of Daquan McDonald, if you don't mind. Could you just hold with us for a few more minutes, please?
Okay,
thank you. We'll take a quick break, and you are listening to the Lotus Place Radio, and we have an activist from Chicago, Paul McKinney, with us tonight. We'll be right back.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, we're back here at the Lotus Place on Black Talk Radio Network, and we have activist Paul McKinney on the ground in Chicago, and Paul McKinney is organizing a demonstration on Friday. Now, if you don't mind, could you just give us a brief synopsis again of Laquan McDonald's background? You said he was a ward of the state, and he was a troubled child.
And what happened?
He was a ward. He was a ward of the state. His mother is young. His mother's in her 30s. Mm-hmm. And he was a ward of the state. And a lot of these cases is these children, a lot of these children, even their mothers were troubled women.
Yeah.
And so it's a third generation. Now, so mm-hmm. A lot of people forget that our race, our people, have just lived through the crack
yes.
epidemic. That means people who are the age of 60 and in their 40s were either selling crack, using crack, or got somebody in their family dumped up on that crack.
Right.
Crack, it was the curse of Pharaoh. It took every single black people out.
Right.
So the young girl's son couldn't cope, and she lost the child. When she lost the child was and went into the custody. And once these children go into this custody, this is another form of prison.
Yes.
In Chicago. And so the child was raped twice. And when the child was raped twice, so he had problems. And he used to live with his grandmother, and his grandmother died off and on. And he was arguing with the neighbor of his grandmother on that block. So everybody, you know, they know him. Mm-hmm. And she didn't call the police. The police drove up and told him, just tell him to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I'm hearing, he had been smoking loud and rich. Everybody thinks that's just over here to smoke the reefer, but it's something in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the police waited until he got down the street and snatched him up from the west side of Chicago and took him on the south side of Chicago. That's where he got killed. He didn't get killed on the west side where they picked him up at.
And I've heard of that happening to police officers picking somebody up and then dropping them off in a completely different territory. I primarily have heard of that happening in cases with different gang members or so-called gang members dropping people off in different areas. So I don't doubt that at all. I don't put anything past them, but go ahead, proceed, please.
So once they took him over there, they let him out the car in the back on the street where there was a bunch of trucks. And he got from back there. He ran from back there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the young boy is paranoid. He don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you watch the video, the other police who was not a part of it drove up. When they drove up, the police just shot him. He was in cars already stopped. So they brought him out there and set him up to kill him.
Yeah.
Now the young boy wasn't trying to rush the police or none of that. So in the city of Chicago, you got to understand, Chicago is unlike any other city when it comes to the police. Chicago has two gun teeth, lock them up, Jones. Chicago has used the police to regulate black folks since the 50s. Not so much in the 30s and the 20s, but since the 50s, they've been using the police to check us. Kill us, put your phone on, send us to the penitentiary, and when you try to tell your family and friends, they don't believe you, man, you were breaking the law. You have to do. There's more people in Chicago. It's the false confession capital of the world. Most people who have been in jail on death row and got back to life for a crime they didn't commit is from Chicago.
Mm.
And notorious police come from Chicago. Commander Burns, the Marquette 10. Well, the Marquette 10 was really the Marquette 300, and the Marquette was some guys selling dope, and they were giving it to the Marquette police force, called the Marquette 10. But they were giving it to 300 police, so they could sell dope in the 70s and the 80s. So what we're saying to you, anytime, and the people that's listening, they got to understand this more than anything else. When you're dealing with the police, when you're dealing with law and order,
Well, there is no law. When the police is breaking the law, there is no law.
Mm-hmm.
And if a police would shoot you 16 times, what makes you think that same police would investigate a murder? Chicago, half of all Chicago cases, murders in particular, are never investigated. And the rape in the city of Chicago, if they're in black neighborhoods, they don't even got no statistics that they, how many people they locked up for this stuff. And you got to remember, even if they lock somebody up, the chance is not even the right person. So you got a mixed management of law and order in our community. So this is why in our community, it's not a community. It's what you call a gladiator community. Then you bring in, you compound the injury, and you bring in Spike Lee, who comes in with Tarzan, that's what we call Father Slater, Tarzan, who can't save nobody. And write a movie, a fiction movie about our pain. And also, I'd like to let y'all know, we also have him for a boycott. From Chicago, we have for a boycott of him, too. Don't go look at his movie. If you just got this deal, burn it and give it to another. Don't watch nothing. Don't have no money with him.
I knew Spike was going off track when he failed to heed the subliminal message that our late great actor and activist Arthur Davis said he was sorry he didn't do a film on the liberation and the revolution in Haiti, meaning Toussaint Louverture. And Spike failed to get the message. However, he could get the funding if he had made the effort. I'm sure somebody with some funding would have given him enough funding to make the film about the Haitian Revolution. He did Malcolm X. The same way he got Malcolm X on the scene, he could have gotten this film on the Haitian Revolution, but Spike has done nothing except been for Spike. And he's an opportunist. He's a bewilderer. And it's unfortunate that we don't have serious journalists as far as film producers who Spike has a big name. He has a big name. But he knows his place. That's his problem. He knows his place, and he's not going to make any waves when he knows that he's being paid to do just that, bewilder our people and do nothing to affect white supremacy.
Can I ask you another question? What do you think about the charge that the police officer has been charged with? It has been stated that will never stand first degree murder, and that's why it was overcharged to make sure that the policeman took a walk on this case. So, in other words, they can't even begin to meet the standard of a first degree murder case on this, and that first degree murder case was just by the prosecutor to appease the people and say, yeah, they got him. And so the charge means absolutely nothing because they will never be able to meet that standard in the court and actually deal with that situation.
Well, there is some suspicions about the charge, but the other part of that flip side is that's the same thing they did to Zimmerman. When they charged Zimmerman with murder, and then allowed him to beat the case. The difference in Chicago is that when you catch a murder, your case don't even come up for about a year. Maybe two. So,
why is that?
Well, because Chicago has 13,000 people locked. It's the largest county jail in the country. So if they're not going to rush the case, they're going to sit on the case. They got him locked up in an isolated area, so can't nobody get to him. They're going to eventually give him a bond. They didn't want to give him a bond because, like Zimmerman, some rich white man are coming to bond him out. The union will bond him out for $1 million.
Yeah,
you got to remember, Chicago police is crooked. They can raise that money. So they didn't give him a bond yet. All this is to appease the people, like you said.
Yes, I think that they're going to do some shenanigans about the murder.
I do too. And that's why it's so important for us to follow through with this and not just become elated once somebody is charged, because they can bond out easily. And following that, consequently, no charges. I mean, even with the, what was it, the cop that killed Oscar Grant, he only served, I think, maybe like 11 months or something, got
that's
married
right.
in
that's
jail
right.
and everything. He had that's it going
right.
on. So, you know, this as you mentioned, it's just all shenanigans. Delta, you have
not,
a question for our guest? Okay, go ahead on, King B.
Let's not forget, this is the same prosecutor who sat on this case for 400 days.
Yes.
So how in the world are you going to expect her now to go after this cop for a conviction? Like the Addie said, it is clear that due to overkill charges, knowing that it's not going to stick in court. But they have already played games with this man being out on a vacation for 400 days, but there were no charges set against him. And why, oh why, would the family take the $5 million when they had not even filed suit against the city?
Because you know there's some federal money, and the same thing happened in South Carolina. The hush money comes out of D.C. from a special fund.
That's not the case there? No. What happened with the $5 million, the mother was intimidated. The mother was
okay.
They spooked the mother. They had her thinking that they'll kill her, too. So anything I'm talking about these cases. In Chicago, they worked through the lawyers. They worked with the lawyers in Chicago. If they want to be successful, they better work with the system. Don't come to Chicago. And that's another question y'all all got to ask. Why haven't there been no real suits like the NWCP did back in the 60s? Or like when it Brown versus the board. Stuff like that. You don't see no suits because those lawyers are part of it. They're part of their part and parcel. And they're part of those Masonic organizations where the white Masonics check them and keep it in line. So the lawyers, the reason why a lot of this is happening is because the lawyers were going to file the suit, but the uncle went to the FBI and the FBI called him up and requested all the information. And they called the mother in the room and had the check already wrote out.
Well, FBI is federal, and gave her an offer
she couldn't refuse. But FBI, see, Chicago is so cold. Let me think about the FBI. Chicago is so cold. They tell the FBI, see how they do. That's how cold Chicago is. They tell the FBI, the machine in Chicago tell the FBI, shut up. Don't get in our business. Man, they got the FBI around here arresting local drug dealers.
Damn.
Chicago got the largest FBI headquarters in the Midwest. They ain't messing with the machine. They stand in their place. They go get local drug dealers and you know, some guys over here that did this and
selling little dime bags and all of that.
Yeah, but we're all, these are all the same people, CIA, FBI, local law enforcement. These are systems put in place to do us, aren't you? World.
In Chicago, when the mayor get in office, remember, he had Clinton. Mayor Daley had Clinton. So when Clinton got in office, all the state attorneys that was Cook County state attorneys and judges that they helped, that the machine helped get elected and helped put in place, they go to, they, whoever the U.S. attorney is up in Washington, D.C., and the Democrats, they put them in the system over there in the U.S. attorney's office.
So now, those same state attorneys and judges that used to be in Cook County, now they work directly for the U.S. attorney. So when any case come up that they want to shut down, they just make a call. And then on top of that, they control who the U.S. attorney is. This U.S. attorney that we have right now was appointed and anointed by Dick Durbin. Dick Durbin put him in there. Dick Durbin is a made member of the machine, like a made member of the mob. The machine is a mob. It's not the Democratic Party, it's called the Democratic Machine, like the Mafia. And they got black folks in it. They got Mexicans in it. They got Puerto Ricans in it. They got Jews in it. Whatever neighborhood, what they need to deal with, they already got an ethnic person that represents them. They got Irish in it. That's the structure of Boston, Chicago, Baltimore, New York.
Hello.
That's the structure. Even if you have black folks in power, they are underneath the system of the machine. So if you understand Chicago, you can break any other city down. That's why Chicago, they try to keep us in check with these national known blue ribbon Negroes. See, we got every national organization is in Chicago. Operation Push, Nation of Islam, Prince Asiel and the Black Hebrew Israelites, the NWCP, all of the headquarters are up here because they try to keep us in check. In the same game they running up here, they running into every neighborhood.
Don't leave out the National Action Network.
What happened to Ferguson? Ferguson is under the Dixie Crack. They're not funding the system that we have built, the Dixie Crack system. That's the system they're under down there.
Don't leave out National
you
Action Network.
Well, when speaking of National Action Network, Canty, when Reverend Al Sharpton came there, I know we spoke, and what was that meeting like when Reverend Al Sharpton came? I think maybe last year sometime.
When he came to Chicago, there was a call out for all the grassroots organizations to come. There had been a mass shooting up here.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Sharpton was trying to convince black folks that they should abandon the Second Amendment and that we shouldn't fight for the Second Amendment in the open carry. That's what he came up with. Mm-hmm. He was carrying.
Wow.
So when everybody got, that's what he came up with talking about. When he got here, everybody came to the meeting and they got here at the meeting and started blasting the Democratic Party, start blasting the machine. See, when everybody here is blasting the Democratic Party, they think we talking about the Democratic Party. We talking about the Democratic machine. That's what we talking about.
Jeez.
Brother Brown, welcome in. Is that you, Brother Brown?
Yeah, that's me. How you doing, sis? How's everybody
doing?
Hey, how you doing,
bro? Okay, bro.
You're doing very well.
Sure, I want to share something with the other one.
Yeah.
I want to share some reading statement from our area up here that was, and I think was interesting, whenever you want me to take a minute.
Okay. All right, you want to go ahead on and share that with us?
Oh, okay, I can do that. And this is a statement from the NAACP in the Kimalevi town. And it was done yesterday, and it says, in the wake of the shooting death of Jamar Clark, a 24-year-old unarmed African-American man at the hands of the Minneapolis Police Department, the Minneapolis NAACP stands firm in demanding the release of the videotapes surrounding this incident earlier today. Governor Mark Dayton held a press conference in which he stated that he had viewed a portion of the videotape from the ambulance on the scene and called the evidence inconclusive. The governor's statement merely reinforces the public's need to see the videotape for themselves and to draw their own conclusions rather than relying on the perspective of one government official who is not trained who is not a trained expert in this field. The governor's statement also disturbingly calls into question the veracity of statements from witnesses who have already cooperated with state and federal authorities in presenting their versions of what happened and may deter other witnesses from coming forward out of fear of not having their stories believed. This is unacceptable and weakens the potential for a fair, transparent, and balanced investigation. Thus, the Minneapolis NAACP stands in solidarity with those demanding immediate release of the videotapes surrounding this incident. Hashtag release the tapes. The Minneapolis NAACP also supports the decision of community members to maintain a peaceful occupation outside the 4th Precinct Police Station in Minneapolis. And we've been on the ground witnessing an outpouring of love, food, and clothing, donations, chanting, singing, and productive ways of channeling rage and grief in the light of the shooting death of Jamar Clark by police. We are committed to having representatives present on the ground throughout the length of the occupation, and we encourage continued food donations, support, and community presence in solidarity with the Northside community that is in pain and has suffered far too long under the weight of oppression. The Minneapolis NAACP will not rest until justice is served. The only way that we can change the things is if we come together as a community and continue to demand justice for the most vulnerable and oppressed in our society. Jamar Clark did not have to die. He should be able to celebrate Thanksgiving with his family just like everyone else. Thus, police practices in the city of Minneapolis must undergo urgent and radical reform. To give hope to the community, the Northside Jobs Program must be created to close the gaps in unemployment and income for black residents. And finally, we would urge city officials to close the 4th Precinct Station and to offer the building to the Northside community to be a community center, just as it was in previous decades when it was the old way, an important resource that is currently absent from our community. To do its part in promoting community healing, the NAACP Minneapolis branch will host a hashtag Justice for Jamar community concert Tuesday, November 25th, beginning at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, November 25th at 5, and urging clergy, people of faith, grief counselors, and broader community to gather informally for prayer, food, and worshiping, to be there to provide comfort, counseling, and support to young people who will attend Jamar's funeral earlier in the day and who will be grieving and upset over his death. On Thursday, November 26th at 3 p.m., we will be hosting a community Thanksgiving dinner in collaboration with Zion Baptist Church and Pastor Brian Heron. All are welcome to attend. On Sunday, November 29th, we'll be hosting an outdoor interfaith church service and march at 11 a.m. All are welcome to attend. All events will take place outside of the 4th Precinct Station in Minneapolis. And to hear or see more about hashtag Justice for Jamar, you can find updates on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/NAACP-MPLS-1415-47-4622-107-049/. And we did have the NAACP president, Carnell Williams Brooks. He did give a speech here. That's also out there for people to listen to. So the young people are really activated around this. And on the day that the five protesters were shot by those individuals, it seems as though I had been there that day to drop off some food for the protesters out there. And that happened later on that evening. But it seems as though there was another report of these guys that did the shooting did this, they did a live stream on when they left their home and they were, you know, yelling racial slurs, and it was being live streamed, and some of the national media caught it up, but it but it was shut down real quick, and I don't actually remember who said it. Maybe some of you do. But they were live streaming when they were going on their way over to the north side to shoot these protesters.
Yeah.
I was able to view that.
Can I interject something right quick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, with the NAACP and their endeavors to bring attention to this, did they come up with a plan of action other than protest? See, a lot of times we have to understand in situations such as the shooting of this young brother that we have to have a definitive plan of action to show how much power we do possess. And what I mean by that is that when the only way that we can, we have to send these people a message other than putting up signs and walking up and down the street. Because for the many years and the many shootings that we have had, just in the last 12 months, nobody has come up with a definitive plan of action. And what I mean by definitive plan of action, we need to start utilizing our economic power to show these people that we have a source of power that we're going to make them reckon with. We need to boycott certain elements. Now, every major city has a sports team. Minnesota has the Vikings. They have the Timberwolves. They have the Minnesota Twins. These are things that we need to be out there in front of those buildings when they're holding these events. We need to boycott certain stores, showing that the economic power that we have, we're going to resort that to one store. We only buy from one store. It doesn't have to be Walmart. Walmart is one of the largest conglomerates around the world. And what I mean by that, they have a store on every Walmart, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Pizza Hut. You can go to China and find these stores in operation. We have to start sending a message.
Yeah.
And when we do send this message, we have to continue with this message. If we look at the Montgomery bus boycott, it's one of the strongest elements that we use. The problem with it is that we didn't have anything in place, because integration that we thought riding that buses, we should have bought our own buses.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
See, mm-hmm.
Hey, Brother Brown, we're right up against the break, and I want to see if Paul McKinney, I want to thank you, Paul, for taking the time to join us tonight. Were there any concluding comments that you have? Because I know that you're quite busy there.
Yeah, I wanted to say this about, he's certainly right about the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very suspicious of those main brand Negro organizations. First of all, NAACP ain't no black organization, period.
Never had.
Right. It's an old version of Black Lives Matter. That's
right.
What it is.
I like that.
I don't see them taking a real action, because the same people that the NAACP got out there marching with them, you really need to go look at that video when the young lady was out there on I-94. You will see those ain't no black folks with them. So, yeah, they got some white folks up there. There's real racists up there in Minnesota. But the point I'm trying to make is dangerous all of a sudden got racist. They've been doing their thing all the time. So when you see the Urban League, NAACP, when you see those main brand Negro organizations come to the scene, their whole thing is not to come to the scene to liberate us. They think it's they got great swelling words of inspiration. I mean, they're wordsmiths. They're like, they meet the Lippmann test of how to address us. They're some of our people. But them same people, man, ain't done nothing in 75 years. They need to disband their organization. That's what they should do.
If you were saving money, you've been in power since the 1920s and we still messed up like, stop saving me. I don't need you to save me from a I need you to disband your organization and apologize. We need to be asking NWCC for reparations. For getting them to always think they know the answer. Why is that? And half them Negroes married to white women.
That's right. Yeah.
We'll either have some white person pretending to be black. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to conclude Paul McKinney's comments, and we'll come right back. Let's just take a quick break. You're listening to The Lovers.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Is the number to call, and the code is 549032. 641-715-3660, code 549032. Don't forget to press the pound and *61 if you would like to speak. So we'll come right back to you, Brother Paul McKinney, and then we'll go to Brother Brown.
Okay.
I really appreciate being on your show. You really got a real good guest that was on the show, and I really appreciate y'all, and I thank you, and I think the struggle gonna go on, and like that song, that new young songwriter, he said, we gonna be all right, and I believe that, but I like to leave with this last note. The whole struggle that we have with the administration is to deny us of the fruit of the womb and of our loins. It is deny our young people to grow up and to take their pinnacle responsibility as leaders in the assembly of leaders internationally. This fight is for the heart and mind and even the soul of our people. So this is a real struggle that we're going through with these white lefts. And we got to openly be saying, I don't need no white man to save me. And I don't need all the mother. All I need is black folks to be, we don't have to, just tell young people the truth. Son, I don't need you to swim the widest sea, to climb the highest mountain. Black folks don't need that no more. We don't need the best boxer, the best basketball player, the best ball thrower. We, black folks need to get on balls, get on board and start making the ball. We need our young men to be men and our young women to be women. If we can get them to do that and think, we won't have to turn back no more. And that's my final comment. Thank you very much.
And thank you so much. Thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for taking the time.
See if I can get his number before you go. See if I can get his number before you go.
Okay, I think he just hung up. Brother Brown, but we can contact him. We can give him a call tomorrow.
And Shira, okay. Can I say something after Brother Brown finish?
Certainly.
Yeah.
All right, what you got for us, Brother Brown?
Well, you know, the brother said, and, you know, I was a member of the NAACP more than one time. And the reason I was a member was because where I live at up in Salisbury, We had some very serious issues with police. Now, every time we tried to do something in a progressive manner, the head of the branch that's right in Salisbury, she was not adamant about us doing anything from a progressive standpoint. See, there comes a time in this struggle that you have to say to yourself, Where do I fit in at with this struggle? How will my people progress when nobody is listening at the concerns of our people? And when you get these handkerchief head organizations to come in there, the first thing that they do, and I'm not against anybody's religion, please don't hold that against me, because what I'm talking about is from experience. They always bring a minister into the fold, along with the NAACP, which is controlled by Jews, the Urban League, which is controlled by Jews, and all these other so-called Negro organizations that are set up to quash and squash all of our efforts from a progressive standpoint. And we must understand that, you know, why is it that these people always want to squash this? Now, when you were down here in Norfolk in Virginia Beach, and we know we met that night, we talked about strategies. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And this is what we have to understand. You cannot go to war and not have a strategy and a plan of action. You got to have a plan of action if you're going to war. And you have to have a no-holds-barred plan of action. That means that I'm buying no names. Whoever is in that position, that they are siding with the enemy of our people, then we must expose them, not communicate with them, not sit up there and think that we're being judgmental. But the truth is the light. They don't mean us any good. Mm-hmm. And we have been through this from the beginning and inception, going all the way back to W.E.B. Du Bois, who was instrumental in destroying Marcus Garvey. We gotta look at these examples. And we have to take these things to heart, because guess what? It's not gonna get any better. Because we're not relying on our ancestors. We're not doing the thing that they have given us to fight with. And, you know, it's sad that they put this crack cocaine in our community for 20-some years and then replaced it with heroin, which they now are cutting with painkillers to destroy our youth. And what we try to do here, and I'm going to be very brief because I don't like to take it, and I apologize for being late. But my sugar been dropping all day, and I had to get something to eat because I didn't want to fall out. And I've been running and ripping and doing things, and I was on the phone with
you
a client.
Sure have.
Yeah. I've been ripping and running, and I had one of my clients, a lady who's dear to me, who has a son that has cerebral palsy, and he's mentally retarded, and they locked this boy up for 2 years and wouldn't give his mother the right to have power of attorney over her son. And we went to the NAACP. They did absolutely nothing. They cast this woman aside and said, you know what, we're going to talk about that later. They wouldn't even give her the benefit of the doubt of listening to her legitimate claim for her son, who somebody gave him some ecstasy and gave him some loud, that weed that they call loud, gave him some of that, and he stole an ambulance. Well,
damn.
Guess what? Yeah, he went off and he stole the ambulance. And when they do these things to our children, because anybody that's 20 years old, they're still considered a child to me because I'm 62 years old. It hurts me. Mm-hmm. When I looked at that video a while ago on TV of them cops gunning that kid down, you know, I'm saying to myself, and I've said this before, where is the black man's honor? And I don't mean that we got to go out there and get automatic weapons and defend this child, but we should have an army that's strategized to combat these elements on the power we got, which is our money. We have to learn how to do that, and we have to be adamant about doing it on a long-term basis. I don't mean saying that we're going to boycott a store until they decide to give us a job, or boycott a store until they decide they're not going to look at us as thieves. No. Boycott a store until they close the damn store up. And I'm sorry for using that language. Boycott it. Don't buy shit from them. And excuse my language, because Michael Brown, the situation in Ferguson, what were the results once they brought these handkerchief-head Negroes in there? The same thing is going on, and it continues and continues because these handkerchief-head Negroes is our problem. And I'm done.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson said, let me just read this statement from an article I came across in regards to the protests that will be taking place on Friday in Chicago. Reverend Jesse Jackson said that the officers involved in McDonald's death should be fired or at least suspended. He also wants a special prosecutor appointed to the case, complaining that Cook County State Attorney Anita Alvarez took too long to bring a murder charge in the shooting, which happened more than a year ago. Obama said in a statement Wednesday night he was deeply disturbed by the video footage. Now, he finally said something. Go ahead, Obama. Obama said he is personally grateful to the people of his hometown, Chicago, for keeping protests peaceful. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Rodham Clinton also weighed in, saying McDonald's family and Chicago residents deserve justice and accountability. Well, why don't you go, you and your husband, and release some of those people that y'all had locked up under your administration's policies? Under their three strikes and all of that stuff, I think that that would be a great start.
First
Hillary.
Start. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would be a great start. And Mother Hattie, you have something you want to share? Delta, you've been pretty quiet. Delta must be cooking that coon over there and that possum. She could be cooking the talk, I guess. Okay, go ahead.
This is what I wanted to share. In Minneapolis, it's kind of a little bit different dynamic. From the standpoint of the NAACP local chapter is under new leadership here, and there's kind of been a little bit of a power struggle between the old ones that were running it and this young lady that's running it, who is an actual lawyer at one of the University of St. Thomas, and she has been collaborating with the Black Lives Matter. But I can see a big difference in the local.
Oh, really?
And for me, your local chapter of all of these, like the Urban Leagues, NAACP, National Action Network, the local chapter is only as effective as the person that's the leader. I started a National Action Network chapter here in Minneapolis because I didn't see what I wanted to see in the Urban League, in the NAACP. Started it when Mrs. Dunning was going through her thing, simply because some of the community members say, well, let's try this. Okay, we'll try that. And I do believe that some of the organizations, like the traditional three that we know of, that we're talking about, NAACP, Urban League, and National Action Network, you need to, I think, from my perspective, I always keep a membership to the NAACP because, let's face it, they do listen to them on some level. And so I think we have to have people engaged from wherever their comfort level is, whether it's the NAACP, National Action Network, or the Urban League. Then there's another segment of people that are your grassroots people. And as long as we are working and doing something that we can do, I think it's great. And if whichever your perspective is and whatever you're comfortable with, as long as people are working in something. And I know that these people have damaged us tremendously. I agree there's been a lot of things that have happened that shouldn't have happened. But we do need to still give and do what we need. Give them the time and energy, support or work so that we can do whatever we can do under that umbrella of that particular organization. Now, the NAACP here did have a plan, and the plan was, it was very simple, what they asked for at the murder of this young man is a federal investigation by the Department of Justice and the FBI, when they asked for the releasing of the tape,
because the police said that he had a hold of someone's gun, and the two dozen witnesses say that the boy was handcuffed and he was shot in the back of the head execution style. So that being said, you still look at what's there. And then my final comment is this. We talk about, okay, let's go make the basketball, let's have our own business, let's do this, let's do that. And I think, Brother Brown, you hit on it at the end of your conversation when you said, where's the black man, the security? Because unless we come up with our own enforcement of climate of what's happening in our communities, i.e. domestic violence, i.e. rape of women, whatever it is that is causing all this havoc and hell, drug sellers, drug dealers, etc. Until we come up with some enforcement of our own, it just seems like fruitless, for the simple fact we had Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. We had Rosewood, Florida. What happened? The scavengers came in. They get jealous. They do what they do. What happened to Chakwe Mbumba getting ready to establish this Jackson thing? You see, until we can protect people when they're doing their businesses on our own as a people, as a community, then we can keep trying to start businesses and they'll just keep failing. And they're failing for a reason, not because the people don't know how to run businesses, because they run them out of business. I had a young man tell me about a business he was doing here, legitimately selling stuff, and they had policemen doing all kinds of planning things on him. And luckily he had a camera, a video camera, and actually caught these people doing this. The police were planning stuff in his place, coming in, dropping things in there. And you know what they drop. And so when it comes down to it, the only way he was able to get out of it was the videotape he had. And so we can keep playing around with, let's do this, let's do that. Now, I think the stop buying, quit spending your money, keep it in your pocket, that's fine. We can do that. And that'll be effective. But until we get a security, our own enforcement of what we want to happen for as our standards, it's almost kind of fruitless. So that's kind of what I wanted to share, those three pieces of information about those organizations and in terms of us doing our own businesses. Because you got businesses all up and down Lake Street here in Minneapolis, Mexican businesses. It's just like blocks and blocks of them. We got Somalis, businesses all over. No African American businesses anymore. That's for a reason.
Yeah. And then also, I think in terms of black businesses, the mindset as well of black people has to be changed too, because quite often when we do open up black businesses, people will stray away from black businesses for different reasons. Their price is three cents higher than the Chinese store. So I'm not going to go to the black beauty supply store. I'm going to go to the Chinese beauty supply store because I can get this for 99 cents. And they're charging $1.07 over here. So, and also the long-term dysfunction that we have, the long-standing dysfunction that we have, not knowing how to really connect and shop with each other. Also, because I think Dr. Claude Anderson talked about this, we can open up all the black businesses that we want to, but if we don't learn how important it is for us to support those black businesses, then they'll be out of business within 6 months to a year. So, you know, that's another factor, too. Brother Brown mentioned about Walmart. These people are going to flood Walmart tomorrow. I drove through Walmart parking lot trying to get to another store. There's a Walmart right across the street from me. I drove through the parking lot to avoid traffic. Oh, my God, that parking lot was so packed. And people running in and running out with bags, and more bags.
Right.
So
and you know, it's almost like
that just
Go on, I'm sorry. It's almost like an addiction.
Yeah, it's like an addiction.
It's a spending addiction. I mean, I fight it all the time. Even when my children need something, I don't go and buy them any tennis shoes. They need some shoes right now, and I am just not going to buy any.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to. I'm not going to because I got this thing around the holidays, and it happened to me last holiday, too. I just don't buy nothing.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, and I was telling a friend of mine that, you know, I said, well, you know, for years, I just don't do a lot of Christmas shopping and all that anyway. But I used to.
Really? See, I haven't done that in 25, 30 years, Christmas stuff. I would give the children, my nieces and nephews, you know, $10 to come out cheaper, really.
And I was telling a friend of mine just last week, I said, well, don't look for any Christmas gifts for me because I don't do Christmas gifts. And she right. said, well, you know, you can still go to the dollar store. And, you know, I said, no, the point is to not shop. That's my point. I don't care if it's a dollar at the dollar store, $2 or whatever. The point is for me not to spend money. If I go and buy 15 of my friends a gift from the dollar store, well, I still spend $15. So the point is for me not to spend the darn money. So, you know, that's my whole deal. At all.
That's right.
I'm just not doing it. We don't have a turkey up in this house. We don't have none of that stuff. I got my wine, but I don't have no turkey and all of those fixings and all of that crap. You know, I'm just not doing it because I just don't feel comfortable, saying we need to do this and we need to do that. And then I'm still going and spending $200 on a dinner for one day. I don't feel comfortable with that.
Well, you know, and I agree with you. And I tell my grandkids that, and I did this with my kids years ago. I said, we're not celebrating Christmas. I said, now, this is the time of the year that I got my bonus from my job. And what I did, I said, we need things all year round. I don't buy gifts. When I got my bonus on December 1st, what I did, I said, my kids need clothes, they need this, they need this. And because I celebrate Kwanzaa, I went and bought what they needed on the 1st of December. There was no tree, okay? There was no elaborate gifts being wrapped. No, and I told them, I said, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't do it, and people know you don't do it, you have to be adamant about telling people that this is not a holiday. See, and the other thing is that I was talking to a group of people, and I told them, they said, well, what do you celebrate? I said, I celebrate Malcolm X's birthday. I celebrate Marcus Garvey's birthday. I pick a day. When these days come, I never went to work on these holidays. I never spent money on these holidays. You understand me? I believe I don't do no Black Friday. Cause why are you calling it Black?
Black Friday. But a lot of these holidays, like Thanksgiving and all of this stuff was created to encourage people to spend money. It don't have anything to do with being thankful and all of this. So who was that? Which president was that? I think it was 1947. I'm not sure. Instituted the whole Thanksgiving and all of that. And then when you think about, and this is what made me really deter from celebrating Thanksgiving, when you think about what we're supposed to be actually celebrating, we're celebrating the slaughter of a people. So, I mean, right. I don't feel comfortable with that whole deal. So, and then when it comes to Christmas and the whole gift buying deal, well, I try to buy gifts throughout the year for my friends. I don't have to wait on Mother's Day to buy my mom a gift. I buy her stuff all throughout the year. You know, so, I mean, I don't need Mother's Day, I don't need Christmas, and I don't need Valentine's Day to do anything for my sweetheart, my mother, my father, none of that. If I want to buy somebody a gift, if I'm out shopping and I see something that one of my friends, I think that they may like, then I purchase it for them. So, that's just me. I'm not trying to force my philosophy on anybody else. I'm just saying, you know, we don't have to just spend on these holidays like that. Save your money. You know you're broke. Save your money.
That's the truth. That's the part that really gets me. The ones that are coming out of there with all those bags, buying those children, all those toys are the least that can afford it.
I have friends that want to buy Xboxes for their children. They just bought an Xbox last year for them for Christmas. And then you buy another Xbox, and then you broke, and then you don't have money. Look, saw this post. I'm going to share this right quick. I saw this post with one of those Kermit the Frog posts, and it said on the meme, and it said, all of this Black Friday shopping, you better pay your light bill or else next Friday is going to be Black Friday for you, too.
Exactly.
You're going to be sitting up in the dark. You know what I'm saying? And so they want to go buy these Michael Kors purses and all of this kind of stuff. And then you don't have no money. Did you buy your child a Rosetta Stone so that they can learn another language? You see?
Yeah.
Did you try to catch a bill up? Did you pay a bill in advance? You know, things like that. You know, come on, people. Good God Almighty.
That's what I used to do. I used to pay all my bills up. I would take my mom's money every summer. I'd pay my bills off until March or either April. Everything mm-hmm. was paid up. So, mm-hmm. but one more thing I want to add. This is very quick.
Okay.
But let's look at, when we look at these so-called Negro organizations that we went through earlier, let's look at their results. What results have any of these organizations given us in light of liberation? They have not given you anything. They have not even came up with a plan of action other than marching up and down the damn street. The NAACP has not done anything since Brown versus Board of Education. That was in 1954 when I was a year old. That was 61 years ago. They have not done anything progressive since then. And all of the leaders that they have had within the last 20 years have stolen money.
Your conference recording has stopped. This service is provided in high definition by free conference call HD.com. Q&A session started. Goodbye.
Uh-oh.